This week on Dueling Review, it's Snake Eyes Dead Game Number 1 from IDW Publishing. Snake Eyes has long been the most mysterious member of the Joes, but how long can he keep his past classified when he's forced to play his hand? Will he get a lucky roll, or will the dead game finally catch up to him? This week's Dueling Review, we better get into it, because it's already 3 minutes after 8.
You know what else is bad?
What's bad, Matthew?
This comic.
Oh my gosh. This week, thanks to your mouth, Matthew, this is all your fault. You realize this, right?
Boy, I sure do hope that next week they don't send us all big checks.
You're going to get a knock on the door. Hello, my name is Ivan. I am Big Check. Come give me a hug.
Hello. This is from Czechoslovakia. It's funny. In Soviet Russia, Czech cashes you, is what they say.
So
here's the deal.
Snake Eyes, Dead Game Number 1. Okay, so here's some questions that I have. Maybe you can answer this for me. This is story and art by Rob Liefeld, script and dialogue by Chad Bowers, with additional inks by Adelso Corona. So what did Rob Liefeld do?
Well, it's clear from the layouts and the number of teeth that Thor has on page one that Rob definitely did layouts. He did pencils.
Okay.
I would say that the inking indicates that either Rob has definitely improved at his follow through, or Adelfo Corona is, you know, making a lot of adjustments and changes.
Yeah.
I think what it really comes down to is Rob had a cool idea, put together, you know, layouts, did a cool story, said, hey, this is the story as it goes. We want some kick-ass dialogue. And we're like, oh, he is reminded that today is not that day. And neither was yesterday. And that's, you know, the thing. And then, of course,
So here's this story, right? A secret mission comes into Joe headquarters and they have to go, and the secret message says, bring Snake Eyes with you. And so they go and they infiltrate this mountain hillside and they crack open the safe and they open it up, and it's the original G.I. Joe is in there, and he's got the kung fu grip and everything. And he's got the changing costume so that he can be a submarine man if he wants to be, or he can be a Navy man if he wants to be. So it's all in there when they open the door. And he's like, oh,
save
look.
The hero crap for my funeral, Sergeant. Right now, the world needs saving.
And they tell this story of some resurrected mummy dude with a dead sword in the dead game. And Snake Eyes knows all about it. And there's lots of fighty fighty and punchy punchy. And the bad guy gets away. And the Joes are like, huh, we're not going to take any stand down orders. We're Joe. We'll do whatever we want. Now, if you think that Matthew and I's descriptions were really dead and really boring and really not that exciting, welcome to this issue.
This is a very strange story. I mean, sure, every story, I think, has moments where you're like, we're going to weld some stuff to the canon. And deciding that the Arashikage clan has in its backstory this blood ninja who once killed Thor and is now being resurrected, I mean, that's not necessarily a deal breaker.
No, it's not. I mean, I kind of like, I like the mystery. I like the, so if you look at it from the base story, here's this 1,000-year-old ancient ninja who's been resurrected, and only the ninja who is part of the G.I. Joes can bring this guy down. Sounds like a really cool premise. If you look at the layouts and if you look at the fighting sequences that go on in here, yeah, pretty cool. But if you look at the dialogue, if you look at the words that are actually in the book,
this stuff is not because he is a ninja instead of a soldier, but because he is both.
You think Matthew's joking there? This is words right off the page. He hears the screams, sees the red hand rising,
for the first
smells
time
burning flesh. He is too late.
So it is very
I don't know if it's stiff or if it's stiff dialogue. It's just not, it's not great. Okay. I'm not going to say it's not good. It's just not great dialogue. It is very, it's very weird, right? It's almost
trying to emulate In some cases, it's trying to emulate, you know, the poetic dialogue of somebody like a Neil Gaiman. But I think it's trying to give you cool, pithy one-liners every episode, every page, every panel or so.
Who he was isn't important. A name doesn't mean a lot if you don't use it or share it with another. And he gave up on both a long time ago.
And I mean, I get it. It's somehow overwritten and underwritten at the same time.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, there's a lot of good premise here. There are a lot of good moments in this, but then it's like Cary Grant walking across the lawn and stepping on the rake, and it hits him in the face.
Ugh.
Right? Am I wrong on that assessment?
No, and there are a couple of sequences in here where you're like, I see what they're going for.
Uh-huh.
There's a moment where he breaks into the headquarters that he thinks is Cobra.
Yeah.
And so we get this 2-page sequence of Snake Eyes ninja-fying some guys with their swords. But it's weird in that the scene is heavily in shadow, except where it isn't.
Right.
The light sources don't make any particular sense. And as much as it's kind of a neat effect.
Yeah, both sides of the wall have these LED heat lamps on them all the way down the hallway. So I guess that's where you're getting it. But it would be a more flat lighting instead of a dark lighting. It's cool. I mean, if you've seen Kill Bill in the house of the... it's the one with, what's her name?
The House of Stone and Light?
Yeah, whatever it is. The ninja fight scene where they're in front of the... lighted walls. It's basically that kind of a fight sequence. Yeah, you're right. There's really moments of really neat stuff in here. And then it's, like I said, Cary Grant with stepping on the rake and hitting himself in the face. It's I don't want to say it's sad, but it's just disappointing. I saw somebody else today describe this book as it has Rob Liefeld writes with all of the energy of a 12-year-old. And it's great to see him bring that energy to comics that take you back to the 90s, even though this is 30 years later. And I can appreciate that. I can say, yes, this person is so excited about what he's writing. Rob Liefeld is so excited about writing Snake Eyes and so excited about, being part of G.I. Joe and doing all these cool things. But the word he brings all the excitement of a 12-year-old makes me think, but Rob Liefeld's like 50 or more. And shouldn't he be writing with the enthusiasm of someone who has been matured with the ability to write good dialogue and write good story? And there's something that's missing in that. I can understand being excited like a 12-year-old on Christmas Day, right? Everybody's like, presents, 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 presents. But at the same time, I'm hoping that it's been 30 years. Certainly, if you've been working on this, that your craft would have improved greatly. But I don't see that.
I think,
and that's me personally, but go ahead.
For me, the dichotomy at the heart of this story really is in the title. Snake Eyes, : Dead Game.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dead Game, first of all, is awkward phonetically. Doesn't mean anything. I mean, like, if you were to say Death Game, I feel like it would be 100% better, but it still wouldn't make any sense.
Well,
and of course, at that point, you'd be referencing Bruce Lee directly in the Game of Death,
or
and
you would
up
be
too much of the game.
Or what you could be referencing in here is Clint Eastwood's Deadpool, which would have come out in the late 80s, early 90s, when everyone's talking about, oh, this is like a return to the classic comics of the 80s and 90s. So I don't know.
What kind of name is?
Have you
Deadpool?
Not seen? Have you not seen Dirty Harry the Deadpool? So a Deadpool.
Yeah, I've seen it.
So Deadpool is one of these things where you take bets on who's going to die next, it's a horrible game that people play. Whoever goes out first, that's the person who gets the money. Or I don't remember how it goes. Whoever lasts the longest gets the money. I don't know. I've never participated. I think it's awful. But there's the Dirty Harry movie that's based all around the Deadpool, and Dirty Harry's on the list and blah, 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 blah.
Got a remote control car in it that explodes.
Yeah. All I remember is one scene set in a hillside. That's all I remember from that movie, watching it off of a VHS tape back in 85, 87, whenever that movie came out. Regardless. So here's the thing. I gave up taking cheap shots on Rob Liefeld a long time ago because I follow Rob Liefeld on Twitter. And I saw somebody who is undunkable, right? If you try to dunk on Rob Liefeld, he brushes it off and he doesn't care and he moves on. And I got to respect somebody who is able to do that to a point. In the last couple of years, I think he's maybe it's starting to get to him, especially with his podcast. I think he may use that as a platform to get out some aggressions on stuff and do the I told you so's and all that stuff. So I'm done with dunking on Rob Liefeld. I don't think that the art in this is particularly exceptional.
You especially could cut glass with Roadblock's jawline.
And trying to figure out which direction the nose is supposed to be pointing and the eyes, brow line, et cetera. But I'm done on dunking on Rob Liefeld. Okay. Mm-hmm. Rob Liefeld doesn't give a crap what anybody else thinks. And a lot of people think that that is great, that Rob Liefeld, because of his attitude, can do no wrong. And so therefore Rob Liefeld is their God. And so for people who are fans of G.I. Joe, or for people who are fans of Rob Liefeld, mm-hmm. I think you're going to love this comic book. Okay. I think if you are a fan of Rob Liefeld, this is the comic book that you have been waiting the last 30 years for him to produce. This is the most Rob Liefeldiest of Liefeldiest comics that I have read in a long time. And if you are a fan of Rob Liefeld, then you have probably already spent the $5 on this comic. Also, this comic is $5. You've probably already spent the money already. And so you don't need Matthew or I sitting here telling you whether to buy it or not. You have already bought it and you've already read it. You've already digested it and you have loved every minute of it. For me, if you are a fan of G.I. Joe, you've got some Joe moments. You got Scarlet shows up. You got Tripwire and Roadblock that are in there. So you've got those moments. So you can go, oh yeah, all the Joes are here, including the original G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. So you probably want to pick it up for a passing interest for that. If you're a fan of Snake Eyes, I think there's a Snake Eyes story here. We're going to find out what the dead game is in issue 2. Okay. At some point he's going to hand signal. He's going to do a sign language thing to Scarlet and she's going to tell us all what the dead game is. To me, this didn't feel like a Snake Eyes story, unfortunately. So if you are someone that is, doesn't care about Rob Liefeld one way or another. If you're a fan of, G.I. Joe is fine, I could take it or leave it. If you're a fan of Snake Eyes or you're a halfway fan of Snake Eyes, I could take it or leave it. This is really a take or leave it book. I'm sure it's going to make lots of money for IDW Publishing, only because of Snake Eyes, which everybody goes back to that classic Larry Hama Snake Eyes story, right? And also because of Rob Liefeld. So this is going to make a lot of money for IDW Publishing. I thought it was just okay. I would give it 2 slices of meatloaf.
That is definitely a number of slices.
Probably 2 more than what you would give it.
Not necessarily 2 more, but definitely more. I feel like I am a fan of G.I. Joe and have been since 82.
Yeah,
and
that's why the fans picked this comic just for you, Matthew.
This is I don't know. It's not. There's a number of issues here, but I think the basic.
There's only one issue here. There's only one issue. Issue number 1.
Quiet you. Problematically speaking, there are several, and I feel like the biggest problem with the comic for me is I agree with you. It doesn't feel like a Snake Eyes story. It does, in fact, feel like a Deadpool story or a Prophet story. It doesn't necessarily, with the exception of here are some characters who look and, you know, are ostensibly dressed like characters you know from G.I. Joe, it doesn't feel like even a military story. It doesn't feel like G.I. Joe in their 80s paramilitary sense. It doesn't feel like the modern G.I. Joe. It doesn't feel like the newfangled IDW post-apocalyptic G.I. Joe. It's just, hey, and this happens, and this happens, and this happens. And for some reason, a general is doing undercover work and getting himself captured. But I feel like the biggest problem for me is what feels like a lack of awareness, not even a question of editing.
Tell me what you mean by awareness.
Does dead game sound cool?
I mean, it's a word.
No, it's not though. It's a made up compound word. And the dialogue has moments where you're like, okay, they're clearly going for a James Bond one-liner here. And then Scarlett shows up and
out of nowhere.
The thing actually says, and by the way, Scarlet shows up with Timber.
Yeah, the wolf.
Yeah, Timber looks Yeah. Okay. So Scarlet shows up and the thing says,
Scarlet, she's the closest thing he has to a friend.
That's not true, though. I mean, that's never been true. And that's kind of the thing that bothers me so much.
But haven't they always have a kind of a close connection? Because I've always thought that they had a close connection.
She's not the closest thing. The only thing, I mean, it's so close to being okay. And I feel like any time it gets to a moment where you're like, okay, well, that was kind of neat. Then we get, you know, Roadblock with what appears to be a block of wood tucked under his arm that's supposed to be a gun. Or the moment where you're like, ooh, General Colton is here and he looks kind of cool. And then he's like,
right now the world needs saving.
I keep waiting. And again, I'm tired of dunking on Rob Liefeld again. I respect him for his attitude and everything.
Yep.
I kept waiting for the original G.I. Joe to schnick a couple of blades out of his fists.
He would not schnick because that is,
I'm just saying he reminds me of very much a lot like a certain animal that is.
He's drawn like, what if Wolverine had, that rooted real hair that you got from the 68 run of G.I. Joe?
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like for me, the biggest part, the thing that really defines the issue and defines the biggest problem of the issue with me is that if you watch from panel to panel, Snake Eyes' belt buckle changes.
Does it change? Does his
no fewer
change?
Than 17 times.
Maybe that's
Morphin belt buckle.
No, maybe that is buckle. That Liefeld thing that people want, right? Maybe it's like, oh yeah, everyone knows it's all about pouches and we all know that it's all about that horrible Captain America cover that he did, which if you look at Roadblock in that final panel,
right, totally looks like that.
Is totally off of that Captain America cover that everybody hated. Maybe this is what Rob Liefeld fans are in for. They're looking for all the panels that don't show feet. They're looking for all the pouches that keep getting added and disappearing. They're looking for the grunty faces is what I call it. Cause I don't think that anybody, when they're talking in this book, has anything other than an upturned down face, upturned down smile. That's the gritty teeth thing. Maybe, and again, I'm not a fan of Rob Liefeld, but maybe Rob Liefeld fans are into this thing. Maybe this is what they want.
Maybe he knows what works. Maybe he knows what appeals to the people who want to read this book.
Exactly.
That is a possibility.
And I mean, he's appealing to his fan base. Yeah. And I mean, if you are, so you're Rob Liefeld, who is experiencing resurgence because of Deadpool and the Deadpool movie and all those things. And you're on Twitter now and you're being very vocal and occasionally you're taking some swipes at the competition. If you're a small publisher and you can land this guy to come and do a property that you have access to and he wants to do it, I cannot fault IDW at all for doing this book. This is a very smart move, especially for people who are anti whatever G.I. Joe is right now with the whole fiasco that they had a couple of years ago.
Right.
This is a very smart business move from IDW Publishing, I think. But personally, this starts to become really good, but I can't get past that two slices of meatloaf.
I wouldn't even go that high. I think I would go 1.5 because I feel like there's the germination of something in here. There's bits and pieces of it that are pretty cool. And I will say this, there are several panels, full page spreads even with feet.
Yeah. Oh no, there's feet all over the place.
Yeah. And that's kind of the thing. This feels like an issue that is both trying to subvert and trying to be everything you would expect from the quintessential Rob Liefeld pew, pew, pew issue. And we know Liefeld loves Snake Eyes. Mm-hmm. We know Liefeld loves G.I. Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes through.
Yeah.
But doesn't translate into necessarily readability or what I would consider to be a quality issue. So I would say go in with your eyes open, caveat emptor, be aware that
$5 of caveat emptor.
Right. If you like everything that Rob Liefeld puts on the panel, this is definitely more of that.
I can really see people scanning certain panels of this and taking out the dialogue or taking out the word boxes, like this one with Snake Eyes jumping towards a Red Hand with the guns ablazing. That's somebody's wallpaper. I guarantee you that is somebody's phone wallpaper or desktop wallpaper starting next week. Yeah. In fact, the word the word caption for the gun going off is blam.
Right.
Blam, blam.
That's what a gun says.
Yes. It sounds exactly like blam.
That's what the gun says.
So you say 1.5. I say 2. I could probably be talked into 2.5, but I probably wouldn't feel super great about it. There is something here. I just wanted it to be more, but
I agree.
But at the same time, it totally is more. I mean, it's over the top. Rob is what I wanted
to be more. And yet somehow it's also too much.
Yeah. 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 In the chat, Pleasant Doom says, in other words, they tried too hard.
I think there's a case to be made.
Maybe.
Kira June.
I am a little bit.
The Ninja Master.
I'm a little bit disappointed this is a $4.99 book. But I understand you've got a licensed book and a hot name that goes on with it. You got to try to recoup your cost, especially with 39 different variant covers.
Yep. The 39 variant covers, I think, are the thing that's.
Well, I think the 39 variant covers paid for themselves because a lot of these are comic shop variant covers.
Right.
Or 30, well, however many there are. Because comic shops, you know, would pay to have their name stamped on a couple of these things. So I think some of that is paid for itself, which again, another smart move. Get your name on a Rob Liefeld comic. Get your store on a Rob Liefeld comic. If he ever comes to your store to do a signing, man, you've got his name right there in your certificate of authenticity. And man, in 20 years, you'll be able to sell this for $1 billion. So I mean,
seven.
When you look at this, if you look, you know, when you do a movie, today, a lot of the people are looking for the four quadrant movie, right? The one that you can check off all the quadrants. And this is one of those books that I think checks off those quadrants. Super popular creator, super popular property coming from, you know, targeting. I don't think this is targeting middle-aged kids. I don't think this is targeting 21-year-old kids, maybe 21-year-old kids. But I think that this is targeting the older adults, older comic book readers, and maybe some middle-aged comic, like 35-year-olds. And right. By middle-aged, I'm also not talking about 13-year-olds, maybe those 21-year-olds. So this will kind of check. This one kind of checks those four quadrants, young readers, old readers, well-known property, well-known creator. So it checks all those.
Red fish, blue fish, one fish, Rob Liefeld.
So I don't know. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, listeners, for putting this comic into our hands this week.
Yes, thank you, listeners.
I blamed you at the beginning of the show, Matthew, for saying, you know, that this is all your fault. But how did this become all your fault, Matthew?
Well, our cruel, cruel listeners.
Our wonderful listeners. Say, hey, listeners, you are all wonderful to me. You're all very, very special to me. I count my blessings every night
that
you are part of the Major Spoilers experience. You're all fine spoilerites. Now, Matthew, on the other hand, doesn't do any of that. But go ahead, Matthew. How did we end up in this position?
Now I'm hurt. Our readers, our beloved, our beautiful readers saw us in a crowded place and could never be with us. And so they went to patreon.com/majorspoilers and they looked for our dueling review each week. There's a thing that goes up that says dueling review. The new one is going to say something like dueling review for, I don't know, 7/21.
No, July 22nd. Although technically, you know, we have two new comic book days these days. We now have Tuesday as a new comic book day and Wednesday as a new comic book day. Although I have seen a bunch of comic shops on Twitter this week say new comic book day is actually going to be Thursday this week because of some reason. I have a feeling it has to do with current state of the world, or at least the United States, where things are starting to be shut back down again. Yes, you will want to look for the post that says Dueling Review for July 22nd, 2020. And you're going to look at the list of comics and you're going to pick from one of these comics and you're going to let us know which one you want to read, including maybe you might want to pick from Boom Studios Angel and Spike number 12, the Power Rangers Slayer number 1. It's got the Slayer in it. That's that one of those crossovers, kind of like the Kiss and the Army of Darkness. This is Power Rangers and Slayer together again for the first time. Also, Wicked Things number 3 comes out next week from Boom Studios.
Name one Slayer song.
Man, what is that one Slayer song that goes la 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 la? What is
that? That's the theme to Bob's Burgers.
What? No. What is it? Gosh dang it. Is it Black Magic, the one that I'm thinking of? I don't remember. War Ensemble? I don't remember. which one I'm thinking of. It's one of those Slayer songs. Maybe it's Raining Blood. I can't remember. Anyway, you're going to go over to, it might be, you're going to go over to Booth. You're going to go over to that list. Maybe you'll pick one of those. Maybe you'll pick that Power Rangers Slayer crossover.
Power Rangers.
And maybe you will pick that one. Or maybe from Dark Horse Comics, you will pick, oh man, this one came out. Actually, this one came out this week. So I'm surprised that maybe they're listing it again for next week. But the Black Sad Collected Stories trade paperback volume, you guys got to get this. This is a gorgeous volume. If you've never read Black Sad, prepare to have your mind blown. It has got some nudity and sex in it with anthropomorphic animals. So you do want to be aware of that. But it is a beautiful, beautiful collection that you'll want to add to your library. Let's see. Dynamite Entertainment next week has Green Hornet number 1, Red Sonja number 17, Vampirilla number 10, and Vengeance of Vampirilla number 9. IDW Publishing has G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, Complete Silence. That's the Larry Hama story, isn't it? Or am I thinking, oh, no, this is a new story. If you got the digital edition of this, if you got a digital edition of this week's book, in the back, there's like a 6-page preview of Silence, which is a new story that kicks off next week, apparently. So there you go. Also, Sonic the Hedgehog number 29 comes out next week, as does Transformers number 21. Quick question. I was going to do this and talk about it while we were talking to our fine patrons who are listening in our Discord channel. You can find a link in the show notes, link your Patreon account to us, and listen to us record this show live every Thursday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. You can hang out and listen in the Discord and chat with everybody and listen to us rant and rave about stuff. But I have a question I was thinking today. I drove by a car, and of course, they had the Autobot symbol on the side.
Right.
Why is Prowl the Autobot symbol?
Prowl isn't exactly the Autobot symbol, but his face does look like that a little bit.
Yeah, it's very much similar. And the couple of places I tried to look up were like, oh, yeah, this is based on Prowl's face, a very stylized version of his face. I'm like, why Prowl? Why not Optimus Prime? Why not somebody else? And why is the Decepticon Starscream? No answers?
Whoa. Well, I mean, I don't agree that the auto brand is actually Prowl's face. But that said, I can definitely see why people would say that, and I can definitely see why you would look at that Decepticon mark and say the same thing about Starscream, especially the shape of his forehead thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I presume that the symbol was created by the same people who created the visuals.
Yeah, so that's why I was just wondering if they thought Prowl was going to be the leader, and so they kind of based it on him, or if there was something special about Prowl that made him do that instead of an Optimus Prime or what's his name? The Beetle guy.
Bumblebee.
Bumblebee. Yeah. Anyway, maybe those answers we can find next week in Transformers number 21. Also, Usagi Yojimbo number 10 comes out next week. All of you who are excited about the announcement about the animated Usagi Yojimbo series coming to Netflix with Stan Sakai. If you're really excited about that, I would really encourage you to go read the press release over at majorspoilers.com. Because you might not be as excited after you read that. Next week, from Image Comics, Bliss number 1, Chew number 1, Decorum number 3, The number 12, Low number 23, Middle West number 18.
I feel like you're trying to tell us something by these one-word titles. The number 2, Low number 5, Bid number 7, Is number 15, $20.
Marvel Comics next week, The Amazing Spider-Man 2099 Companion Trade Paperback. Also, Amazing Spider-Man, Sin's Rising Prelude number 1, Empire number 2. Matthew has Empire number 1 review coming up on the Major Spoilers website tomorrow.
Yeah.
So you want to check that out bright and early. Empire X-Men number 1, Empire Avengers number 1, Wolverine number 3, and X-Men Fantastic Four number 4. Comics and all the rest category we have. What else do we have here? If there's anything that pops out, Danger Devil number 2, High Rise Invasion graphic novel number 7, Hollow number 1. That's a mature reader's book. Kids with a Z number 5. That's where you know it's off the hook.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, man. I love listening to that song.
Good song.
It is a good song. Is that Kim Wilde? I think it's Kim Wilde.
Let's say yes.
All right. Shang number 2 of 3, so the penultimate issue there, and also Zombie Tramp Ongoing number 70. Now, what about DC Comics? Well, we have to flip over to another list for that. Next week, we have Action Comics number 1023, Amethyst number 4, Batman number 95. We also have, let's see, The Flash number 758, I believe is that one. Detective Comics 1024, Justice League number 24. Harley Quinn, Black, White, and Red number 5. And what else do we have? We have Teen Titans Go, Roll With It number 6. Now, some of those will be digital only releases next week. You want to be on the lookout for those. But those are some of the comics that are coming out next week. Matthew, tell people what they need to do now, right now.
Right now. You need to go to patreon.com/majorspoilers. You look at that list, you pick the comic you want to read. And definitely, please, please, please don't make us read that Green Hornet number 1. Nope, don't do that. That'd be terrible if we had to do that. Oh, it's possible. But anyway, choose a book that you want to see. Have your friends do it. Tell everybody. Wake the kids. Phone the neighbors.
All right. Well, there you go. Thank you, everybody. Thank you to our patrons who are hanging out this week. Omega Lazarus, Mark Smith 72, Pleasant Doom, Kevin 11. I think there was one other person. Did I say Omega Lazarus? Probably. But they're all hanging out. They're all awesome people. You can hang out with awesome people, too, when you connect your Patreon account to your Discord, patreon.com/majorspoilers. And that will wrap it up for this week. Thank you so much for downloading, checking us out. Thank you for being part of the Major Spoilers experience. And we will be back next week to review one of your comics. And we will maybe be able to hear Matthew say,
I love hot tubs. Sometimes I pretend I've been captured by witches and they're using me to make humans.
This podcast is copyright 2020 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener Salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.